ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the 10th Canto, chapter 29, text 26, 27, and 28. So we'll do 26 together, and then I'll do the rest. Ashvaryam ayashashyam cha Asvargam Ayashashyam cha Palgu Krishram Bayavaham Palgu Krishram Bayavaham Jagupsitam cha Sarvatra Jagupsitam cha Sarvatra Hi aupapatyam kulashriya Asvargyam ayashashyam cha Palgu krishram bayavaham Vigupsitam cha sarvatra Hi aupapatyam kulashriya Asvargyam, not leading to heaven. Ayashashyam, unfavorable for a good reputation. Cha, and Palgu, insignificant. Krichram, difficult. Baya avaham, creating fear. Jagupsitam, contemptible. Cha, and Sarvatra, in all cases. He, indeed. Aupapatyam, adulterous affairs. Kulasriya, for a woman coming from a respectable family. Translation. For a woman from a respectable family, petty adulterous affairs are always condemned. They bar her from heaven, ruin her reputation, and bring her difficulty and fear. Text 27. Shravanad darshanadhyayan mai bhavo nukirtana na tata sanikarshena pratiyata tata griham. Transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go back to your homes. Purport: Lord Krishna is certainly presenting formidable arguments. Text 28. Sri Sukha Uvacha Iti Vipriyam Akarnya Gopyo Govinda Bhashitam Vishana Bhagna Sankalpas Chintam Apur Duratiyam. Sukadev Goswami said, hearing these unpleasant words spoken by Govinda, the gopis became morose. Their great hopes were frustrated, and they felt insurmountable anxiety. Purport: The gopis did not know what to do. They considered falling at Krishna's feet and crying for his mercy, or perhaps remaining aloof and going back to their homes. But they could do neither of these things, and so they felt anxiety. Om Gyana Tirmansya Ginam Jana Shalakaya Shakam Tamina Tasma Shri Gudavi Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Budrishi Mati Vakavinda Sankhamana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvashesha Shunivadi Pashtatari Shatani Ya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Rita Gadada Shri Vasidhi Gauravani. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a very humbling experience to speak from the 10th canto, and especially touching the Madhurya Rasa. Of the five rasas, this is considered the topmost, the most intimate of the Lord, and the most relishable. And it is a very sensitive subject matter, because we can easily misunderstand the relationship between Lord Krishna and the gopis. And I myself, I would admit, I'm not really qualified to speak on this subject, but for duty's sake, I'm doing so. So I'll just go back a little bit about the gopis. The scripture explains, and I think especially in the Padma Puran, says, Gopyas tu shutayo janeya rishicha gopya kanyaka deva kanya Kanyascha Rajendra na Munyasha Katanchana. These gopis were from the personified Vedas, reborn sages, daughters of the demigods and cowherd men, so forth. They were by no means ordinary women. So this is very important for us, because sometimes we can misinterpret and take lightly, maybe in our mood, try to interpret this relationship, and then that could make us commit serious aparad. They were several subcategories of gopis also. It is stated that there were the Swakiya, who were wedded gopis. There were the Parakiya, unwedded. You had the Devi, which were the demigoddess. You had the Nitya Priya, the eternally dear gopis to the Lord. You had the Nitya Siddhas. Then you had the Namukya, or the chief gopis. And then you had like Saumya, which were from Chandravali group. You had the Vamya, which was from Srimati Radharani's group. You had the Sadhana Para practitioners who became gopis. You had Ayautiki, those gopis who remain alone. Navina, the youthful Sadhana Siddha gopis. Prachina, you had the elderly gopis. Yatiki, the gopis who remain in social groups. Munichari, the sages who became gopis. And Shrutachari, the personified Vedas. So there were all these groups of gopis. There were millions and millions of gopis. And this pastimes has actually begun in the spiritual world. I'll just touch on it briefly. It's stated in the glories of Srimati Radharani. Once Srimati Radhika was serving the Lord, and she fell into great ecstasy, and she fell into a trance. And while she was in that trance, Lord Krishna left and went to meet another gopi, Viraja, or Viraji. And what did you say? Yeah, Viraja. And whilst he was with her, Srimati Radharani got back into consciousness, and she was very disturbed. So she went with her sakis, stated 630 million sakis, went to that place where the Lord was enjoying with Viraj. And she was very angry. And there was one of the Lord's servants, Sridham. There was some argument, and there was some coursing and counter-coursing, where Srimati Radharani coursing to common art as a demon. And then he coursed her to common art also and marry Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu would be an expansion of the Lord. But to some extent, her character was kind of for ordinary people, they would talk about that really. But it was part of the course. And after going through this Rasa Leela for a certain amount of time, then she and the gopis would have to face separation for 100 years. And that was to some extent very painful. It's experiencing this Vripalamba separation for 100 years. I guess later on we'll read about it and we'll hear more about that. So now Lord Krishna is speaking to the gopis about moral chastity. But as we know, because they're exalted devotees, they're above these things. And these are mostly for the common human beings to hear and to observe. And it is a very sensitive subject, especially women dharma. It's a sensitive subject, especially in this day and age. And I try to run away from it, especially like even cow protection is a very sensitive subject. Why it's sensitive? Because in the West, especially you know, cows are not regarded as anything much. It's just regarded as food for the general mass. And so to speak about it, it's not so relishable and palatable. So, and similarly with this subject also, about Dharma is, women Dharma especially, it's very, very sensitive. And so I have to put a straw in my mouth. I hope I don't commit any offense to anyone, and I'll ask for forgiveness at the beginning. There are many shastras that speak about this, especially you have the Manu Smriti, the Ramayana. In the Mahabharata, there's a chapter between the two exalted devotees, Bhishma and Yudhishthira. There's Kapila Dev and Devahuti, and part of the fifth canto, and there are different areas. And sometimes it's good to hear about these subjects to keep us humble and to be very cautious in our everyday life. What's going on in the world? I mean, I like to say that Kaliyuga has not really begun. We're just like in transition. But what we've seen here is so depressing to some extent that when the fullness of Kaliyuga starts, what would happen? See? It would be so unbearable that for a righteous person he would not be able to live with what would go on in Kaliyuga. See? Even right now, for example, we find that the rate of separation is so tremendous in the outer world, but even within our society also. And so we have to take a humble step back and see where things are falling apart and how we can adjust to rectify it. Because of course this movement has to go on for 10,000 years. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was talking to Krishna, he says, the Dharma Bihabhat Krishna Parushanti Kulashriya. He says, when irreligion becomes prominent, then women become degraded. And from degradation of womanhood comes unwanted progeny. See? And unwanted progeny is leading us to hell. Hellish condition. And so so we have to be very careful and very concerned about these things. In the Manu Smriti, it's stated that a woman should always be under the protection of guardians. She should be protected by her father when she's young. She should be protected by her husband when she's married. And she should be protected by her son, if she has one, when she's old. And these things, they're not to be dismissed lightly, because this is where so many other things, so many other complications arise. See? And we find that the conversation between Yudhishthira and Bhishma was is very helpful for us to understand these principles even more, because it's stated there that Bhishma referred to a conversation between Narad and one of the heavenly damsel. I think her name was Panchachuda. And he asked her to explain about the ways of women. And she said, "I am a woman, why should I speak about that topic? And you already know about it." So somehow Narad cajoled her, and she explains. She finally agreed to speak, and she says, no matter how good a husband she may have, or no matter how good a society she may be brought up, or no matter how good a family she may have, she would easily disregard all of this for a man that would render nice service to her. It stated that just like the cows forever seek newer pasture. Just like that, if she gets the opportunity, she would seek newer men. See? So these are not easy to understand, easy to comprehend, or easy to even accept. See? But hearing these things will definitely make us very humble. And take a different look at life. See? And if we want to be preachers, for one that follow the principles of devotional service, then they're above these behaviors. This just apply to regular people. But it is good for us to understand too, for us, if we fall short of following the principles, then we can fall within these weaknesses also. And so, but as preachers, we should understand these weaknesses. So here we find that Lord Krishna is also preaching to the gopis about these things. But really he's preaching to the world about these things. And this verse where it's stated that that if a woman follow her husband nicely, then she can attain heaven, the heavenly planets also. She does not have to be initiated or anything. See, that's within the karma kanda section of the Vedas. And also if she go through the sati rite, then she stays in heaven for the lifetime of seven Indras or something like that. So many different things. See? But Lord Krishna is reminding them about these things so that the world could hear and the world can and we can be very careful. Srila Prabhupada also wrote something, but there's a nice part in the Ramayana also. Maybe I'll just read one little part really, with Lord Ramachandra and Narad Muni. See, he was saying that Narada fell into some illusion and he wanted to get married. So he asked Lord Ramachandra, "Well, why you didn't allow me to get married?" And Lord Ramachandra says, "Just as a mother protects a child from a fire or a snake, so I protect my devotees." And then he says, this is Lord Ramachandra speaking, he said, "Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy are the most powerful army of ignorance. But among them, the fiercest and the most troublesome is Maya in the form of a woman. He says she is like the hot season that dries up all the ponds and lakes of Japa and austerities and religious observances. And again, lust, anger, and pride, greed, jealousy, are like so many frogs, and she is like the rainy season that gladdens them. And again, all different virtues are like a bed of lotus, but like the middle of winter, a woman who is a source of base pleasure blights them all. Even so, reason, strength, virtue, and truth are so many fishes. And a woman, declared the sages, is like the hook to catch them. So, this is not easy for us to hear, but at the same time, it's not for us as preachers and as devotees. See? And Srila Prabhupada also, he writes a little bit. Sometimes some devotees, they criticize us speaking about from the Manu Samhita, but hear what he says here. This is in the Bhagavad Gita, 16 chapter text 7. He says, as for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as the Manu Smriti Samhita, which is the law book of the human race. Even up to today, those who are Hindu follow the Manu Samhita. Laws of inheritance, other legalities are derived from this book. Now in the Manu Samhita, it's clearly stated about the position of a woman. And he says here, that does not mean that women are kept a slave, but they are like children. Children are not given freedom, but that does not mean that they are kept as slaves. The demons have now neglected such injunctions, and they think that women should be given as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, women should be given protection at every stage of her life. She should be given protection by the father in her young days, by the husband in her youth, by the grown-up sons in her old age. This is proper social behavior. But modern education has artificially devised a puffed-up concept of womanly life. And therefore, marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Nor is the moral condition of woman very good now. The demons, therefore, do not accept any instruction which is good for society. And because they do not follow the experience of great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demonic people is very miserable. And this is from the pen of Srila Prabhupada himself. Actually, he practically summed up everything that I was saying earlier. And I don't know how many devotees have read this, but it's not an easy subject to assimilate, especially growing in the West. The other part here is Lord Krishna spoke about how we can achieve him. And he stated, mere proximity is not the way. Prahlad Maharaj also explained the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. See? Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshipping the deity form, offering prayers, being a servant, surrendering everything. See? And that's what the Lord is saying in this verse also. Transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So please go back to your homes. See, so she's explaining, like we know, because this rasa dance is destined to happen. And it's been planned so it would take place. So we can only conclude that this is especially for the world to hear. And this is his message. And the last verse, it stated that the gopi seems a little confused. Well, what to do now? Lord Krishna is telling us to practice this morality. Well, we've left home and everything. We're ready for this dance, and he's telling us something different. But we can conclude that this is mostly for the world. So I'll stop here if there's any comment or question or correction. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you know I have great love and affection for you, so please don't take any offense. So
okay.
Be some cautious, because this is such a delicate subject matter. You have to be very cautious about the rasa bas. This story of Viraja and the cursing, none of our acharyas, Jiva Goswami Pad, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Sarita Darshini, I have not read completely Sajjan Toshini of Sanatan Goswami Pad, but none have mentioned, because this Leela, it took place in Golok, not in Brajadam. Golok has two kind of divisions. One is opulence place, where Radha and Krishna worship like Narayan. And the other side is like Braj, like we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Leela really is not related to Ras Leela. Also, when Sri Baladev, which this is a very amazing thing, you can count on your hand how many times Baladev would separate himself from Krishna. During the battle of Kurukshetra, he chose not to stay with Krishna, but to travel on Tirthayatra, ending up in Namasharana. So there was a very significant reason for this. Even though he has so much attachment to Krishna, because Romaharsan Sutta had not heard Srimad Bhagavatam after Vyasadeva had spoken to Narada Muni, then Baladev considered it so important, because he's a Kanda Guru Tattva, so important that he go there and correct the situation. But because Romaharsan Sutta did not recognize Baladev, Baladev killed him and gave the blessing to his son, Sutta, that he would be able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam proper conception as given by Shukadev Goswami, then come back to Namasharanya and give the understanding for the benefit of the world. So this is so important thing that, especially in this subject matter, because of all of Krishna's pastimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Samyak Sara Vasanam Krishna Raslila. This is the topmost. And Sri Radha Shyam Sundar also came to hear your class.
Of course.
Also want to hear.
Of course.
So very delicate on this.
Yeah, very, thank you for your comment. Yeah, but the point that happened in Goloka Dham, in the spiritual world, why is that it continues here, whereby Srimati Radharani and her pastime would be enacted here. And then of course, the separation would take place. We know after Lord Krishna went to Vrindavan and then left later on for Dwarka, there were the separation with the gopis and Srimati Radharani. And that was like for 100 years, and that was very painful also, see? So, I mean, that part I had wanted to include. It's also stated that Sukadeva Goswami did not even mention the gopis once, the name of the gopis. Indirectly, he spoke about Srimati Radharani, Aradhana, like that, you see. But it's stated because the subject is so sensitive that he would not, if he had only mentioned any of the gopis, he would not be able to continue Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, because it would have been so much lamentation, really. You know, his tears would be flowing from his eyes that he would not have able to continue Srimad Bhagavatam. So he sidestepped the names of all the gopis, even Srimati Radharani. This is just one place indirectly. And this is the highest relationship. I mean, we're studying Bhagavatam to get a glance into the Madhurya Rasa. See, to understand. Any other point or question? Anything anybody want to comment? I know it's very difficult, very painful, you know, sometimes to hear about this. But the Shastra speaks it, and so sometimes it says, Ya Shastra Virimushvija. If you disregard Shastra injunctions, then what it says, there will be neither happiness, peace, nor can we attain the supreme destination. See? So, I beg again, I hope I have not offended anyone. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.